and this is Jeff Wadley, by the way. So they are going non-retention outside of the Chignik Bay District. Or sorry, retention outside of the Chignik Bay District. We're still going to allow non-retention inside the district because there is a local stock of kings that have a chance to survive if they're released, especially in the lagoon. So they do have similar retention provisions in Chignik. Kodiak doesn't have a cap, so they can continue to do non-retention.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. Sorry, can I just follow up? So I'm just trying to make sure I understand sort of the logic behind it. So is this intended to be like a more permanent reg for July going forward? Because I guess I'm just trying to understand if you're monitoring Chinook, but it's kind of standard statewide practice to release 28 and overs. Wouldn't it make more sense to only count the fish that are typically going to be retained under a normal year? Or I guess I'm just trying to understand the logic behind which fish are important to count if it's kind of standard practice to release 28 and over fish around the state.
Yeah, I'll let Forrest chime in too on that. But typically the especially in Chignik, the number of fish under 28 inches is the majority of the fish and usually is the one that reaches the cap. But I can't speak to whether this is a permanent or an effort to make a permanent change. I mean, it is a board generated regulation. So obviously it can change. And the department, you know, I can't speak for the whole department. I'm just going to leave it there for now. Hopefully Forrest can have something to say about it.
Yeah, sure. What was your question, Charlotte?
Hey, Forrest. Yeah, so I guess I was just trying to understand the logic, or I guess it's two-part. Like, what is the end game of doing this? Is this going to be a more permanent reg in July going forward? And if not, kind of what is the logic of counting all kings, retaining all kings, if it's kind of more standard practice and, you know, probably going forward, you know, allowing retention, non-retention of over 28s? Like, what's the value of counting fish that you typically wouldn't retain, you know, as a metric? I guess I just don't understand why that would people would be allowed to non-retain over 28 inch kings.
Yeah, so, you know, the commissioner has authority to require mandatory retention using emergency order authority. So that's in chapter 39. And so that's the authority being used. The department didn't submit a proposal to make this a permanent area specific provision. But as I think all of you are aware, Chinook stocks across Alaska continue to be at low abundance and in some cases continue to decrease in abundance. And so we're kind of in an unprecedented situation right now. We've employed the strategy of allowing live release of Chinook over 28 from purse seine fisheries in some areas. And, you know, I think many of us question how effective that strategy has been because we continue to see declines. We also know that there can be occurrences of relatively high Chinook catches in some of these purse seine fisheries, notably at Chignik last year, It comes up, it happens in the South Peninsula from time to time. And so these caps are structured to mitigate the impact of those periodic large catches of Chinook. Regarding our approach to the Kodiak management area specifically, there are a couple of local Chinook stocks there where we have good escapement data. So I anticipate significant area closures to conserve Chinook salmon in the Kodiak management area, specifically Karluk and Iakulik stocks. Jeff kind of laid out the approach at Chignik, where in the Chignik Bay District, so the inside waters where it's likely that Chinook bound for the Chignik River may be caught, you know, we are going to allow release there because we think that could be effective, in especially as those fish, you know, have been kind of moving in and out of the intertidal area and have been exposed to fresh water. They start to harden up and are likely to survive release better than a fish that's out, you know, off a cape that is bright and the scales aren't set. So, you know, so that's kind of the strategy. I don't know if I covered all your questions, but I think I explained the thinking and the intent.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thanks, Forrest.
I have a question. So king salmon, the reason in areas where they release king salmon is hopefully they go back to the streams of origin and reproduce, right?
Yes.
So by making it full retention in Area M, you'll be able to sit at the board meetings and say, well, we know 100% that if a king salmon goes to Area M, it's not going to survive because we're making sure they kill them off.
Setting it up for failure.
Yeah.
So how many more years do you think we're going to be allowed to fish out here before this screwball out to chuck us all down? Can you answer that for us?
Oh, I'm not sure. Did you hear the question, Forrest?
No, I didn't.
Forrest, can you hear me? This is Alvin Osterback.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Good. So, you know, so throughout the state, there's all these plans in place. And one of the reasons we always thought that you would release salmon back into the wild was so they could get back to their natal stream and reproduce. Well, now by having full retention out here, you're going to guarantee that salmon and Area M to get caught, they're never going to reproduce. So the board and everybody will be able to say, well, if they go through Area M, it's 100% failure on fish that goes king salmon that go through there. So my question is, if you're going to keep going down this route, targeting Area M, how many more years you guys figure before you shut this area down?
Well, it's not our intention to shut the area down. And, you know, these caps are intended to incentivize Chinook avoidance, right? So they're, you know, similar to the chum triggers that you operate under in June. You know, those chum triggers, I think, have been effective in incentivizing chum avoidance. So that's part of the intent here, is that we're hoping people can avoid Chinook if there is a penalty associated with catching them.
Well, I think if you're going to make that believable, then you should do it in all areas of the state, not just Area M.
Well, we're doing it in the area. You know, we have other tools in other areas where we have escapement monitoring of local stocks, like closures. For example, in the Copper River District, they normally start fishing around May 15th. Well, they've had 24 hours of fishing, two periods since May 15th, and that's for Chinook conservation. in the Kodiak management area, as I mentioned earlier, where we have local stocks and escapement data on those, I am anticipating significant closures in the areas where Karluk and Iqaluk Chinook are caught.
Those areas,
right? In Cook Inlet, we've closed the entire Eastside Setnet fishery for the last several years. They haven't even fished. So we have other tools where there are local stocks and we have escapement data. This is a tool that we are going to employ in areas where there aren't local stocks.
We're already closed more than we're open.
I guess my question is, Kodiak will see area closures to protect Karluk and Iqaluk stocks. We'll see full retention and a cap. And Chinook, inside Chinook Bay District, which catches the majority of the fish harvested in Chinook every single year and has a poor return, they can release fish and keep fishing.
Within the lagoon.
Why are there not area closures? I mean, they have...
There are area closures. We are instituting area closures as well.
Everybody tells us to bear the burden of conservation and we want to release large kings so they have a chance and we can't. I mean, area, and I don't disagree or argue the caps or the plan. I mean, it was put in place across the whole peninsula, not just us. I don't feel like we were targeted, but not being able to release Chinook over 28 inches just seems, they do have a chance. That's all. I mean, let's give them a chance. That's all I think. Like, keeping up, what's going to close Area M for Chinook is going to be the 10 inch little feeders that we don't even really see. We're going to be surprised, probably be closed after the first opening. It's not going to be the 28 inch fish that are going to close Area M or save us from the cap. But let's give them a chance. That's all I think everybody's asking.
How much of them little feeder kings are hatchery fish?
Not done in full count, but I mean, it can be a high proportion.
Isn't it like 80% or something?
I think we'll get to that assessment a little better here over the next couple of years.
You only have to clip 20% of them, right? Designate hatchery.
I think so, something like that. But yeah, so clipping doesn't necessarily mean that they're not tagged or anything like that either. So, but anyways, I guess we'll move on here a little bit. So there's no changes.
Hey, so this is Bert Foster in Kodiak. Can I say something, Matt?
Yeah. That's one of the genetic stuff's coming up at the end. Birch, if you want to hold on to that. Or you want to say something now?
Okay, well, I just wanted to expand a little bit about what Forrest is explaining, that there's caveats and considerations in all these different areas. And the big difference we have, as everybody knows, is that we're also conducting a new Chinook genetics project. It's not perfect, but trying to be concise and gathering empirical evidence from the fishery as a whole is also an important consideration. So I just want to make sure everybody knows that that can be gathering that information from the Chinook as a whole is also important as part of this project.
We're filling all the over 28s to get a sample. That's me.
Okay. So there are no changes to emergency order management in August and September, and it's all based on local sockeye, coho, pink, and chum runs. And here's the snapshot of the July fishing schedule. pretty much standard for that. And like we mentioned earlier, we'll continue on, I think one more year of Chum genetics, and then from the in-season harvest, and then also doing Chinook salmon. And we'll have samplers located in Sandpoint and False Pass for collecting those samples for genetic analysis. Just real quick on Dutch Harbor herring. I know this is a salmon meeting, but some of the people that participate in those things are in the herring. Also, just a reminder that vessels, processors, and tenders must register for the Dutch Harbor food and bait herring fishery. And daily harvest reports need to be provided if participating in the herring fishery. Birch, did you want to expand any more on the genetic stuff, or are there any questions regarding that? Yeah, moving through that one. See any questions? I don't know. Are there any additional questions people have? I know we covered quite a bit of this throughout the presentation.
How was this meeting announced? I never heard about it until yesterday.
Sent it out through the news release system, the fishery update number 2.
Do you have any numbers out yet of that Chum genetic studies of the years that you've already sampled?
There is, correct me if I'm wrong, Birch, currently there's 2022, 2023 on our website. I think it's under the harvest, tag, tab in on our website. So those are on the website, and I'm not sure turnaround on 2024. Do you have any insight, Birch?
Yeah, the 2024 data is not out yet, but Matt, you're right. The up to the 23 data is available on the website, and I could post the link on the chat if people are interested in that.
Yeah, right.
Do you have any idea what the mortality rate is for released fish, non-retained?
I don't have anything off the top of my head to answer that question. If anybody else, I don't know, Birch or would have a, or Forrest, you have an idea of what mortality rate is for released Chinook?
Birch, do you want to talk about your Kodiak project?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't, there hasn't been a lot of studies in the area on the survival of the released kings, released Chinook over 28 inches. We are on the verge of conducting a study down at Aikuluk to as part of a test fishery to capture sockeye and also tag and release kings in the vicinity of Aikuluk to try to get an idea about the survival of kings. Maybe not feeders, but kings that are close to like Karlik and Aikuluk, and figure out if we can monitor and observe those kings going through the weir to get some idea of survival or survival indices. So that's something we might be able to find out starting in June. We're going to be fishing down there with Aikuluk closed for all of June probably, so hope we will get some data pretty soon.
Right.
I have a comment and it's probably a question.
comment I have is, I'm trying to figure this Chinook thing out. I think it's like everybody else in the shore, probably with the exception of the department. But then how can we, it's pretty much the same with Alvin and Kelly said, but I'm trying to figure out how, if the Chinook salmon is in danger, or not in danger, but in trouble, how are we helping by keeping full retention? I mean, if we have 1,000, for example, we have 1,000 fish kept. If we released just a number of 300 of them up throughout the period, isn't that more savings than full retention that's going to come to the dock and to die? And that's common. I have to say that. The question I have is, the commissioner is issuing emergency orders for this issue and then changing it, you know, whenever. By tomorrow, maybe different again. Why can't the commissioner, pertaining to the June fishery amendment, why can't they issue emergency orders giving us a weather day in our June fishery? We're not asking for more time, but after the weather went bad, we missed a day. We're already missing days. Why couldn't he say, well, we all agree not to fish that day because of the weather and give it a makeup day? Probably know your answer, but I have to ask that question. You know, why are we forced to fish on a day that's blowing 40 Easter here or something? I don't know if it's, it can be done by emergency order, but I know they're issuing an emergency order. But
I just want to add that fishing on a day when it's blowing 40 easterly, you're going to catch a hell of a lot more chums than you are on a day when it's northwest 15.
We're trying to help our folks, but we can't get help.
I think superseding the board schedules, I think. I think that gets tricky for even the commissioner to be able to override those scheduled fishing periods. If they were, emergency order-based fishing periods, we could work around the weather windows a little better. But because they're set in schedule, as the department, we don't have the authority to override those schedules.
But could you have the commissioner involved?
What's that?
Could you have the commissioner?
I don't know. I can ask the commissioner. I can probably ask Forrest, but
I'm pretty sure I know an answer. Right? I can throw it out there.
If you have an 88-hour schedule opening and it's in the books, it gets shortened to 44. What difference does it make if you fish in the front half or the back half of the 88 hours?
We've wrestled with that a little bit, and I think following in with the board's intent. As to, especially with having that closed period.
Well, you're not making sense. You just said it's set in schedule. The 88 hours is set in schedule.
But the 24 hours. But the 50% reduction is something that the board.
Well, what difference does it make if it's on the back or the front?
Because if it's on the back, then you don't have what the intent is to have that longer closure window. The intent is to have the window to be. Of the closure, if you put it on the back end, your closure period is still the same. It's not longer. The intent is to create a longer closure period.
So you're trying to tell us that you guys know what day the fish are going to swim?
Yeah. You get longer fluid. You'll have a longer fluid than what I did, but don't make up for it.
Just asking.
If you had to reduce them all in the first one, say the first one. The weather closure, you want to fish the back end, the guys want to fish the back end instead, that would automatically move all of them to the back end. That would be the downside, so that you could maintain the window length, because that's the only way you would maintain the window length is by moving the following period, right? Yeah. I mean, you could do that. It's complicated, but I guess that would be the only way.
Yeah. Say that again? I mean, just...
So, like, if the first period that he closes on the 16th, if he cuts it in half, in order to maintain the closure lengths and these bigger windows, which is what it's trying to do, you would have to move the following periods to the back as well. So, it'd be like, whenever he has to do it,
you know, you're being domino effect.
Yeah. Right. So, it might help you out for one opening, but it might screw you on the next, but I guess it's a gamble.
Right.
You know, windows don't work. We've been through this on the chum issue for the last 30-some years. We tried windows. We tried everything. Fish got tails. You can't tell them what day they come through the area. And it don't work.
That's why the adaptive management has been effective.
And I'm not. I know you guys are just the messengers. You're not, you know, you're not setting the rules. It's just frustrating because, as you know, we've talked about this for a long time.
Yeah.
It's hard when you, when you're so, you've already lost 50% and then you lose an additional 25% to weather. I mean,
it's, now who's it adaptive for? Not us.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we can honestly say there's no salmon fleet in the state that does more to try to get fish through its area rather than catch them. And when like common sense tells us what to do, then if we can't do it, it's frustrating.
All right. Any additional questions? Anybody online?
Jamie Wirtz had a question. He texted me. He couldn't unmute himself. Can you unmute him?
And he can.
And he has a
password. What's his number?
He said he couldn't. So.
I wonder what his number is, do you know?
I'm looking it up. Hey, it's right next to Weiss. 06769
Oh, great. Well, I guess we'll conclude the meeting if there's no additional question. Oh, Dwayne?
What about August? No.
What about August?
What about these games?
Right now, we're just sticking to July. We'll keep an eye on it. The difference with August is we have EO authority for opening and closing fishing periods, so
could that answer that tells me that by the time August comes along, we might possibly be facing the same thing. Is that right?
From looking at the harvest over the last several years, August usually is not a big issue with catching king salmon. Most of them have cleared out through here. I will keep an eye on it, but we're not going to. The thing about July is we have set periods, and so that's the issue at hand here is we have set periods. So using this cap to close periods when there's a lot of high abundance of king salmon in the area. August is a little different because I'm setting the fishing schedule. So I could extend a closure if I needed to but August usually isn't as big of an issue as July is for catching king salmon.
You know, one thing you guys as department might want to talk about is if you ever get off this thing of full retention, that if you put the king salmon back in the water, some of them might make it home. I know June is full retention, but maybe you should start looking at if you can release them. If you ever get to that point, maybe you should be releasing them in June also instead of having full retention. You know, yeah. I mean, if you're looking at, this is like the old, long time ago days when they used to have all these stream guards in the streams. We used to argue back then with the department, why don't you put the stream guard out in the open so everybody knows he's there? But they go, no, then how are we going to catch anybody? So a guy comes in, makes a set, brails them all aboard, they go out and arrest them. Guess what? Those fish never got spawned, you know, but it doesn't seem like the mentality of the department changed any. You know, you got to put the fish back in the water and make them go home if you want to get more out of them. You can't kill them all.
Well, I think there's a proposal
The Sanders Association has a proposal in to release kings over 28 inches in June.
Well, I mean, the department should be able to figure that out if they're trying to save king salmon.
Right, but the way the management plan is written right now.
Oh, I know it is.
They're extremely. I mean, he. Yes, he's mandating, the department's mandating retention in the July fishery, which doesn't have a full retention rule.
Right.
Wouldn't you be able to I mean, on the other side of the coin, you should be able to relax the retention rule for June, but it's that I don't even want to go down that road with June. We've got enough problems, but yeah, I mean,
it's common sense.
Yeah, to say that was good to explain it too with the stream card. I have a question about jobs management.
Yep.
We have a big forecast, big run returning. I mean, usually runs this size, we'll start to see them in July.
Yep.
I mean, maybe not escapement, depending on water levels, but, you know, I think it's important for the fleet and the processors, especially this year, like with market situation for pinks especially, is getting good quality fish. And, like, I mean, we've kind of been in a rut for 10 years of waiting for at least the midpoint or nearly the midpoint before we really start, you know, fishing.
In 23, we went before midpoint, and it was based on knowing that harvest was showing high abundance, escapement was showing up, and then there was fish in places where we were assured, or at least I was comfortable knowing that we were going to hit the lower end and probably the midpoint and possibly even greater than that. So we did open things up before we actually got to that point 23. And so if all those things line up again, I mean, I intend to continue with that approach.
Okay.
Whereas, you know, in our even years, abundance isn't quite as certain, especially like last year. I mean, we barely got the midpoint and there wasn't much fish left there to harvest. So, I mean, it's, I hate to say it, it's kind of a case by case scenario from each season to season, how we kind of look at it. And I think by mid July, I think we'll have a pretty good indication as to what our abundance is going to look like. It starts showing up pretty noticeably in the harvest.
Yeah. I don't want to put you on the spot. It's good for everybody to hear the answer. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had a crystal fish ball to know when things are going to be able to take place, but I just have to have all the information in order to make that decision.
Yeah.
You have a total escapement for last year from Pinkston, and there were a lot of fish in the area after, you know, after you had left. But what was your total number?
It was like 2.48.
Did, but that's from...
Survey is August, towards the end of August. Yeah.
Are you going to have a pilot in August?
Are we going to have a pilot in August?
Yeah. All survive.
I heard rumors that you might be leaving before August.
Oh, I left last year. I'm not really here.
All right. Yeah. I just heard rumors that you might be taking a different job or something like that.
Well, I'll put it this way. I was not going to be here this year, and then I was like, I couldn't leave you guys in a lurch, so here I am.
All right. That's all. No, I mean, I've seen years with fog. You know, came in fog for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Things can't fly. We're sitting on the beach, and the fish are out there knee deep. So, just curious.
Yeah. All right. Any additional questions?
Hold on.
All right. I guess we'll wrap this up. And thanks everyone for joining. And yeah, if you have any additional questions, feel free to give us an email or a call.
All right.
Stop by.
Is there any changes to the cost recovery fish for this year?
Yes.
I'm one of those. I barely saw an announcement, but I don't hear what it said.
I haven't sent out the bids for the cost recovery yet.
There's more now, isn't there?
Yeah.
But we're not.
really condone that.
I agree.